Real quick, that is the best thing that you have ever told me to buy.
Which one did you get?
Yeah,
dude, that thing is. Those are feel legit. That. I just barely put that in there. That thing is like frozen solid.
Yeah,
not a sponsor, but if anybody's looking for some awesome ice chest coolers, go on Amazon and buy Cooler Shock.
Cooler Shock.
Those things are the most amazingest fucking things ever.
Hard-sided and the soft-sided ones. Yeah. I personally think the soft-sided ones work better.
What you don't want to do is put Pool Shock in there.
No.
I feel like there needs to be a disclaimer because there's a bunch of dumbasses in this world. So
true. True.
I mean, you got to cover your ass.
Cooler Shock, not Pool Shock.
Yes. And if cooler. You can afford Pool Shock right now, good for you.
Especially to be dumping in your ice chest. That shit does not work very well.
You'll be shocked.
Oh. Yeah.
So, well, no, that's family. Dude, that stuff works so good.
When you wake up, you'll be shocked. If you wake up, you'll be shocked.
No joke. That stuff works so good, dude.
It is.
Yeah.
It's the shit's fucking legit.
Yeah. Especially on the big ice chest. I just lay it on the bottom and then pour all the ice on top and it literally turns it into a block of ice.
Well, those beers have been sitting in there since late season. And I just was like, fuck it. And I just threw the cooler in there right before I came here. That one is already fucking slushy.
Dude, that's
how fucking well those things work.
Money.
Weird. These have been sitting in the back of my truck.
Pretty slushy.
Oh, they're still fucking frozen.
Yeah. Well, the weather in California hasn't exactly been the most warmest.
And it's like it's summertime outside or something.
Yeah. Weird. California's in this weird thing where it's like doesn't know what the fuck to do. Like, it thinks we're at fucking Alaska right now, I think. Or Canada.
Alaska?
It's got a real Midwest vibe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pick up where you're going with Alaska.
Well, it thinks it's like fucking
it's
summer.
Like an Alaskan summer?
Yeah, like a lot. Well, yeah, I guess Alaska was a little extreme.
A little less bugs, though.
Yeah. Probably.
And grizzlies.
Yeah.
Mm. Hey.
Grizzly. Yeah. Midwest. Like, it thinks we're at Idaho. Or Wyoming, yeah. Or Montana, like right now. Fucking cold as shit, like 4 feet of fucking snow in 24 hours. And
fun little tidbit, I looked at the weather where we go in Sask, and yesterday was a cold of negative 30.
Oh, that's it?
Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Fahrenheit.
Mm.
Crazy.
That's warm. That's like fucking... Go outside and your shorts warm.
That's a warm cold.
Yeah. I'm sure it's dry,
it's
too.
It's so warm it feels like ice, yeah. You know, literally hitting you when ice isn't in the air.
Well, that's like
that. Who was asking me about Canada? I think it was your dad.
What about it?
He was like, is this recent weather that we've had, is this like Canada? And I said, no. I said, I had ice in my beard.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah. In Canada. Yes, it is very cold. And that was...
But you know what? We could show up next year and it'd be warm.
I was about to say, that was technically even mild. That was warm for that time, wasn't it?
The first time we went, it was t-shirt weather.
Really?
Yeah, it was a little cooler than late season this year.
Well, it was not that way when we went this last time.
No, hell no.
We had fucking snow bouncing off the ground hitting us in the face because it was windy and snowing and like in every direction.
I'll tell you where I'm going to be warm, in that motherfucking hot spring.
Yeah. Oh, the flamingo shorts came in and they are on point.
Did you shorty shorts?
Yeah. Well, they're...
Did you really?
They're shorty shorts, but...
Did you really buy a net shirt?
No, but I've been looking.
Oh, are you?
We're going to do that.
Yeah. I looked at, I can't
just
find
net everything.
I can't find a fishnet American flag shirt. So if you can find one of those and you are listening to this, please send a link to us for what we're looking for right now is a fishnet American flag shirt with or without sleeves.
Yeah.
Not particular on that, but it must be see-through American flag. Preferably holes large enough for those of us who do have chest hair, not myself, to stick through.
Or myself. Large enough so you could see your nipples through it.
Yes, I would like a little nip to go through.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
A little cheese grater.
Yeah.
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 Ooh. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It will be a cheese grater. You jump in that fucking spa and then you go outside. That motherfucker gonna be hard as shit.
Oh, well, I didn't think that. It's gonna look like chainmail.
Yeah. You're gonna walk outside and it's gonna be like especially oh those God. Fucking net shorts you gotta fucking buy or wear.
Nah,
that's gonna be great.
I got those covered.
You're gonna have little fucking Swiss cheese fucking holes on your fucking balls after you get done.
You're gonna have to peel them off of each other. Can't wait.
Yeah. Sounds like my day.
All right, welcome to another round of Hunting and Shit podcast. We got the three amigos in the house tonight.
What's up?
One stupider than most.
That's a fucking loot.
One hey, that giggles a
so,
lot.
So, talks right did now. You did you know that Fresno County is one of the highest counties in California for swingers?
Well, you don't see the upside down pineapples?
I don't know where that random factoid is coming from.
I saw four of them just in this neighborhood.
Did they did they put that out in the B?
So one on the front door?
You want me to send you a pinpoint?
You know, I'm pretty good. I'm good. I don't need...
Well, they want good ones.
Mm. Yeah. No, that's not what I meant.
They're searching for good ones, I'm pretty sure.
Nope, not it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
I'm happy, is what I...
No, okay. I'm sure they are, too. Super happy.
Probably.
Too, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, they may be happier. You never know.
Oh boy.
They could be.
Anyways.
You don't want to talk about that anymore? Okay.
No. No. I was not comfortable with this mic.
I just thought it was a fun fact.
Comfortable with the mic or the conversation?
Either or, to be honest with you.
Leave it to Cody, though.
Either whores.
Either whores?
Either.
I just thought it was a fun fact.
It was ranked what?
Honestly, where did you come
with that? We're like number one in California. Fresno
when you say
County.
We say we, like you guys have achieved this.
No. I'm just saying, as a whole.
Like we're in a team.
Like
here.
Fresno County in a whole. Like, you know,
everybody's doing the whole.
Everybody's, apparently.
Yep. Everybody's sharing everybody's whole.
Yeah, I haven't got on that bandwagon yet. But.
Right. But you know the facts behind it.
Yeah, I've heard it a couple times now. It's super weird. California is also like super high in chlamydia.
Terrible. Where do you guys come up with this shit?
Well, that one I learned from Katie.
Is that like the new Fresno slogan? Fresno hole is open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No hole left untouched.
Hashtag might get the drip.
Jesus. So we were planning on talking about late season, but we have taken a drastic turn in the wrong direction.
Hey, at least we're number one in something.
Yeah, this is true.
I guess.
California as a whole is one in chlamydia, apparently.
Yeah, crime and swinging.
As a whole. Yeah.
Crime and swinging.
As a whole. But that is a fact. I know chlamydia, the chlamydia rate in California is like way high.
Would you get that off Yahoo?
No. That's a Katie fact. We went into this discussion about chlamydia and how everybody in every bear has it, apparently.
Well,
every bear?
No. Everywhere.
Like the no bear I've bear? Shot. I haven't checked.
It's kind of like the cocaine bear, except it's the chlamydia bear.
Have you watched that?
I haven't, but I would love to watch it when it comes out. Is it out?
It's out.
It is out. Have you seen it?
No, I have not, but I was listening to it almost took over the Marvel new movie.
Really?
The Wasp and Ant-Man, I think is what it is.
Uh-huh.
It almost overtook it.
Wow.
Cocaine bear?
Wow. I mean, that's legit.
Really?
Yeah.
man,
I want to see that.
I mean, who the fuck don't want to see a bear on cocaine?
I don't know. Dude, I was watching the trailer and it looked fucking retarded.
No, the trailer's on fire. I'm sorry.
It looked retarded as shit.
Dude, think about it. Cocaine bear.
That would be gnarly as fuck.
It would be.
Weren't we just having this discussion like on Saturday or Sunday about what's his name? They were talking about it. What would be worse is fucking cocaine bear or
seven or, Molly penguins?
Yeah.
Or PCP porcupine?
PCP porcupine would be fucking gnarly. LSD, I think LSD fucking tiger still got the best one. LSD tiger would be fucking legit as fuck.
I agree though. Cocaine bear wins them all.
Out of LSD, a tiger that's on LSD.
Oh, easy. Easy.
No fucking way.
PCP porcupine, that's a force to be reckoned with.
You don't think a pack of hyenas on cocaine can't take down a cocaine bear?
100%.
I think there's brute strength.
I mean,
100%.
Just in and out.
I don't know. Cocaine bear don't feel no pain. This is true. Sure. Yeah. You don't feel pain.
Dude.
But LSD tiger would fuck a fucking cocaine bear up. He's got the cat-like reflexes. Bears don't have cat-like reflexes.
I don't think he's that fast.
I don't know.
I mean, he's still big. He's not moving. I mean, he's faster, but he's
PCP bear would fuck up cocaine bear.
Wins every time, hands down.
PCP bear would fuck up a cocaine bear.
That thing could be dead and still fighting.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I think a PCP cub.
The motherfucker would have the AED on him.
Oh, yeah.
Still pawing away.
Oh, dude, still going strong. That thing could be quartered out and still fighting. In somebody's pack.
What is it on? What is Cocaine Bear on? Amazon Prime?
Cocaine?
No.
It's in theaters.
Legit. What? Yeah. No, shut the fuck up.
Somebody actually got that thing to go into the theater.
No, it's in theaters, homie.
I thought that was going to be like a Sharknado thing or something where it's just like a...
No, nobody gives a fuck about sharks.
But this cocaine, is true. That's kind of what I was thinking about.
A bear on cocaine? Everybody cares about that.
No, nobody cares about that.
Because it gets to your inner, you know, you're scared. Kind of like Taylor if it was a fucking cocaine cougar.
That'd be trip. No bueno.
That is his worst nightmare. Fucking cocaine.
Or leopard. Cocaine leopard.
That's no good.
Fucking cheetah. Cocaine cheetah?
Like, what was it, 1923?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
When they were attacked by those, well, they were leopards, right?
Mm-hmm. In the fucking tree?
In the tree?
Yeah.
Imagine those motherfuckers were on cocaine.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking cheetah. Cheetah's already fast.
You're not getting out of that.
No.
You're not.
Cheetah runs what, 45 miles an hour? Now you get it on cocaine, it's doing 65, bud.
Oh, easy.
The best thing you could do is somehow learn how to communicate with the cougars and somehow befriend them and then find their stash and you guys just party. That's the best thing you could do at that point.
Best case scenario.
I do agree.
Best case scenario.
Because you try to handle a pack of cougars or leopards on cocaine, there is nothing stopping them.
Well, I'm going to have to go watch it now because I got to figure out how the fucking bear gets high on cocaine to begin with.
Well, he finds a stash. It's in the... Did you not watch
You didn't watch the trailer?
The trailer? Nah, I wasn't really paying attention.
Yeah, it's like a drug dealer drops down an air load or I don't even know what it is.
Oh, the bear just rips that shit up.
And then just starts fucking...
Fucking
Tony Montana in that shit. Dude.
Fuck yeah.
Hard.
This is more exciting. I might have to go fucking watch this shit now.
Have you guys seen the dude that submitted his drawing for the duck stamp, federal duck stamp?
No, was it amazing?
I just found it.
Was it a liger?
This is legit. This is a federal duck stamp art contest submission. You haven't seen this? It's a shark flying through the air trying to gobble up mallards.
Fuck yeah. I hope that wins. Is there a public vote on that?
I don't know. I don't know how it works. But
So do I also get a shark tag now?
Hey, legit though. That's a fucking pretty legit ass fucking drawing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never seen a great white shark though.
In
a pond.
Don't think you want to.
No.
If there's a great white shark in a pond, there is going to be poo particles and water splashing very rapidly.
I'm dead. For sure. I'm dead.
That's why I never went sea duck hunting.
So late season went, I'd say, pretty dang good for us.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I was genuinely happy, and I think that we all kind of exited regular season on this super big high that, you know, the birds had moved in like giant force, and especially around the properties that we hunt, and we kind of figured, oh man, we got this. It's going to be just a smash show come late season. But then the weather pattern changed. It, you know, the rain turned off, the wind went away, and
it turned into a typical late season.
Yeah, it was just like our typical late season where we all just end up tomato faced and blister lips.
Yeah, it just gave us a little taste for closer.
Yeah.
And then it was like, that's all you get.
That's all you get, bud.
And then the week after the fucking closing weekend or late season weekend, it fucking decides to just torrential downpour.
Yeah.
It's fucking fantastic. With a shitload of wind.
Dude.
Yeah. Shout out to the fucking weatherman again. Appreciate that 15 to 20 miles an hour wind on Wednesday. That was super awesome.
That we never got.
Yeah, that was great.
Tuesday or Wednesday?
It was supposed to be Wednesday. Hammer.
Well, originally
it hammered here. It was windy as fuck here.
Well, Tuesday afternoon there. It was, yeah. We'd have smashed them if we'd have hunted Tuesday afternoon. But it is what it is.
Wednesday was supposed to be like 15, 20. And that's kind of what my plans were hunting on Wednesday, is because I was counting on that fucking wind. I thought everything was going to be hella low.
Should have known better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I fucking got out there and that 15 to 20 turned into about 2.
I remember my first season.
Yeah.
But so what we did the same thing that we've been doing, which, you know, put your faith in the weatherman. You don't put a lot of weight on it. And then you guys went out and set up on Friday. You know, I helped out a lot.
Yeah, there's a couple different groups that were out there. And the majority of them, you know, were kind of in a corner. And that's where we decided to go.
And they're pretty spread out, right?
Half dozen, you know, it doesn't matter. But the majority of them were all in one area in between two different fields. So the majority of them were in one field, and that's where we set up at.
And the weird thing about it is, because we put a lot of effort, you know, we just kind of divvied it up this year, like similar, but I think more so this year where, you know, I think collectively we probably scouted the property, I think, 3 times, not counting Friday. So Friday would have made the 4th scout in the afternoon, you know, that would have been an afternoon scout, but scouted it a couple mornings, a couple afternoons, and they were almost in a different composition every single time that we hunted. So there was really no pattern to them.
Well, that,
which is good and bad.
Well, that, you know, and the darks, like, you would go out there. So it was Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is the day where we scouted. So Tuesday, the darks didn't, or the whites didn't show up. It was all darks.
Yep.
And then Wednesday, fucking whites showed up.
Yep.
Or no, Wednesday was the day you went, right?
Yeah, Tuesday the whites were...
Tuesday the whites were there.
Yeah.
Wednesday, they didn't show back up. Thursday, when my dad went out there, the whites came back in there.
Yep.
And then Friday, when you guys got out there that afternoon, there was like 15 whites and it was all darks.
It was all darks.
Yeah, the whites didn't show up again. So it was like hit or miss of whether the fucking snows were going to show up or not, you
right.
know?
Right. There were whites out there. They just weren't on permission that we had.
Right.
Right. And... So we elected to go with what we know, for better or for worse, and just set up the spread that we figured we could cater to the darks, similar to what we've talked about in previous episodes or whatever, if you've followed any of the things that we do. But we typically, you know, if we know that we're going to be targeting darks, we'll still set a white spread, but we'll set the darks to where we can decoy darks a little easier as opposed to the whites. You know, it's kind of like, fuck the whites. If they come in, it's a bonus. You know, they might not decoy perfect, but the darks will decoy a little bit better this way.
Let's hope for some dumb Rossies.
Yeah. That and we're, the original plan was like, all right, well, we're not going to set up all the whites because it's mostly darks. And then we just kept bringing out decoys. And then I was like, let's just bring out another grain bag. And then they just bring out another green bag. And then pretty soon by the end of it, we had everything but, I think, one green bag set.
Yeah. Yeah, I called it.
Which I was okay with, but the way it was going, I was not okay with.
Mm-hmm.
It started getting, the spread started getting longer the wrong way.
Right.
So you're pulling off of our original spread. Like, I agreed, you know, we can go set up a little hub of geese over here.
Yeah.
You know, a little family group whatever. But a family group does not include two grain bags.
Yeah.
Which is 20 dozen.
That's, well, 20 fucking dozen decoys.
Well, when me and Justin were talking about it, I was like, well, let's just fucking just spread this shit out. Let's go
behind us. Yeah. Not let's to go the sides of us.
30 yards out here and set up a little pod. And let's go another 30 yards, set up a little pod. And then, not to Justin's fault. It's but Justin's kind of fault. To Justin's fault.
We'll blame Justin.
He just started fucking emptying out fucking grain bags, and I was like, easy, buddy. I said, pods, not fucking spreads here, bud. And at one point, we had another whole flock of fucking snows, like, on our left-hand side that was, like, basically, hunted, we could have hunted out of.
We could have hunted two spreads our spread.
The drone was at, what, 350 feet and couldn't get it all in one grab?
Yeah. Couldn't well, that's after we. View. That's after we had. We took most of that shit and even spread it out further because it was like we could have hunted on that left side too. We could have hunted snows on the left side for sure.
Crazy.
It was pretty gnarly there for a second.
I had a blast. I had an absolute blast calling you guys on the way out there. Yeah. Just talking to every individual. Yeah. Everybody had a different perspective, and it was everybody else's fault.
Yeah, I like how you called every single person that was out there. We were all in conjunction because I think you called, I don't know, you called somebody and then you called me and then you called Rick, then you called Justin, well, then you called Danny.
I did call you. It just went to voicemail.
Okay. Well, I was going to say he probably didn't call me because in every single, in the background, I was probably like, what the fuck? You stupid motherfuckers. Stop it. I'm going to fucking kick your ass if you set this next fucking grain bag out. That's pretty much what I was saying the whole fucking time.
Yeah, Friday night, we ran out of Ricky.
Yeah.
We ran out of Ricky.
Yeah. Because you called me at like...
I'm okay setting the whole fucking spread, but the way we're doing it, I was not okay with it.
You called me at... What time did you call me? 7:30?
No. I called you when I was leaving on the road, and that was at about 8:15.
Yeah. And I said, oh, don't worry about it. We're almost done.
Yeah.
And then we spent another hour and a half setting up the fucking
decoys. I drove all the way out there, which is an hour and 20 minutes towing a trailer. And you guys were another 45 minutes before you even got back. And it's 45 minutes to the field. So
it was pretty solid.
Yeah.
It was fun.
But yeah. So we
some
did
of you guys were about to enter the Thunderdome. Shit was about to go down.
But so the struggle that I think that we were facing the most, that surprisingly, I don't feel like it had as much of a negative effect as it has in years past. You guys tell me otherwise, but, you know, we were doing night sets, and typically the significant downside to setting up the night before or having decoys already out there, basically, whatever, however you want to put, you know, phrase that, is freezing frost.
Doesn't matter when it's that cold. If we would have set up in the morning, you're there right. Would have been just as much ice.
Yeah, you're right. Well, for the amount of decoys that we have to, we would have started at 2:30 to meet shoot time.
And it was 28 degrees, I think, in the mornings.
Yeah.
And the high, maybe not high, but, you know, 28 to 30, 35 degrees in the mornings.
On average.
Which is going to freeze your decoys.
Yeah, and if you're starting at 2:30, they're freezing, you know.
Yeah, especially when you set them out on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Then you already have moisture on them.
Yep.
Well, but Saturday morning, it didn't fucking matter.
But exactly, Saturday morning, our specs were white.
We fucking hammered them on Saturday morning.
Those birds were, I think that kind of going back to the scout, and the pre-planning is that, you know, I've always noticed that consistent birds on your property is a great thing, and inconsistent, you know, patterns is also a good thing. It just means that they're super comfortable. They're ready to go wherever. They're kind of first birds that hit the ground. That's where everybody's going to join the fucking party and go. And that's what I was telling Justin is that they're just super comfortable. That's why they're just moving around, milling around wherever. It doesn't matter. There's no, there is no point of pressure over here or no pressure over there. It was just they were on the property and they wanted to go wherever the hell they wanted to go, and it was cool.
And that's the nice thing about private property, you know, also is there's no pressure unless you're there.
Sometimes it's nice to hunt a feed that's super consistent with a big glob of birds because, hey, you know that they're going to be there. But then that also comes with stress and pressure of now you have to mimic what was there, and now you have to live up to what has been there. And if you can't deliver on that, they're going to they could pick you apart as a result of that.
Yeah.
And I think that we kind of cashed in on the fact that they were spread out everywhere. It's like early season honkers.
Well, they kind of had to. I mean, there wasn't that much. No. I don't even know what they were going in there to eat, to be honest with you.
Well, they ate it down fast.
There was nothing but goose shit.
Dude, straight up. Everywhere. It was crazy. I mean, crazy what those geese can do.
And then they would just move, and then they would come back to that same spot. And I'm like, well, you guys just ate all of it. I don't understand what the fuck they were eating.
Yeah.
Unless it was that brand new, because there was some brand new
shoots. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a night set and then showed up Saturday morning and, you know what, we hunted 11 guys, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
10, 11, maybe 12 guys.
Something. 11.
11 guys. And morning flight was great. And
oh, that first
dudes time. Were we had straight shooters.
Hour and a half, that first hour and a half, we fucking hammered some shit. Yeah,
it fucking was left side fucking did work.
Dude.
Yeah,
right side. Honestly, in the morning, everybody was doing good. Now, I can't say the right side was shooting exceptionally well in the afternoon, but, dude, it was like every flock. I mean, it was like 7.
How dare you?
10.
How
dare you? In the afternoon, the right side, I mean, there was one person that shot a ban on the right-hand side.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100% shot that. We'll get into that later.
Not him, but we'll get somebody on the right-hand side.
The van was...
That was Sunday.
I for sure shot a ban.
But it's okay. I'm comfortable.
We'll talk about Sunday.
Not sure if I shot both of them, but like 95% sure I shot both of them.
What was that? No.
But, you know, I'm team player.
That was Sunday.
I gave up one of them. You know, because I'm a team player.
You just need to shut your fucking mouth right now.
Yeah.
No.
So.
You guys are about to witness a jumping.
Yeah.
So.
If you hear weird animal noises, don't worry about it.
So, what I think we decided, so we started, shoot time was at around about 7 o'clock, you know, for us, was when we started shooting. And I think we were all kind of. Flight had deteriorated, and we were ready to go and start barbecuing at about 10.
Mm-hmm.
So about 3 hours max.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
About 2.5 hours.
I mean, we're always a little premature on it, but there's always that lack of flight.
Yeah.
And then there's always
a little volley afterwards. Yeah.
And usually, you know, our buddies, a couple of buddies, usually always hanging back in the blind. But by then, bud...
Yeah.
I'm ready to get back to the trucks.
Yeah. But what I was getting at is we had about 2.5 hours of hard, hard flocks just coming in. And in 2.5 hours, we shot like 85 geese,
something like that.
85, 87. It was just insane the amount of, you know, birds that came in, decoyed, and were shot. I mean, I'm talking probably 15 flocks, so I mean that's a lot of birds dying.
Yeah, it wasn't pass shooting. It was they were literally. I know a lot of our videos kind of look far, but you got to put it in perspective of the camera.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, 20, 30 yard shots. You know,
and also most of the recording comes from the right side, so when you see a bunch of shells fly across the screen,
yeah.
If those would have came on the left side, it would have been 2 shells,
or one. Or even none.
It was 2.75 bosses, man. 2.75 bosses.
This is what you're going to move to?
5.
Is that what you're going to move to?
They're killing.
You going to move to it?
Yeah, I shot a lot of Justins.
Did you really?
Yeah.
They fucking hammer shit?
Why do you think I didn't use any of my shells?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he put his shells in between me and him.
Oh, fuck.
I figured that was an us situation.
Yeah. Guaranteed. Absolutely. I like that.
Right? Because a normal, when you're laying in a wedge, you always put your shells on your right-hand side.
Yeah, that's
because you're right-handed, or maybe Taylor puts it on the left.
That's kind of fucked up, though, because the guy I'm usually sitting next to is left-handed.
But Justin puts all of his shells on the left-hand side. So, and you know how he does. He has that big old gigantic.
Yeah, boss. Or not, is it boss?
It's just a dry bag.
Yeah. It's a giant dry bag.
Yeah.
And it's full of
all kinds of candy
mixtures.
Yeah. He's got heavy shot, little boss, little fucking candy. What I
don't understand is how do you shoot consistently?
Oh, no, don't worry. He doesn't.
When you have, I look in there, he's got Kent Silver Steels, which are 1550s or 1560s.
Boss line, 1400
1425
or
bosses. And then he has heavy steel in there. And all of those shoot different speeds. How are you? I don't get it.
That's good. Yeah. Well, there's nothing to get.
Here's the thing. Left side's a pretty good shot. But I think it's mostly two people on the left side that are the pretty good shot. And then the other one just is like, okay, when he gets the right shell in his gun. Like, it's like, oh, miss. Oh, hit it. That's the right shell. Oh, miss. You know what I'm saying? Like, but a lot of shooting in the ass, maybe a little bit.
In all honesty, if I pull up and I have three shells and there's a flock, my expectation of the line, if we have 10 people, is everybody should shoot one goose. And that would be a great day where you have 10 people and everybody shoots one goose out of that volley. You got to think about that. That's 10 geese.
There's more than 10 geese.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's right there. That's baseline. You have three shells. If everybody shot 30% today out of that flock, we're doing great. And it should be happy days. Mm. And that's my expectation. If I double on it, then great. Maybe I picked up somebody that didn't shoot one or whatever. But so that's where I always look at it, is like,
but that's like,
I just got to shoot one and do my job. Shoot one, shoot that first one, and then maybe pick another one.
I think my dad's...
Yeah, it's so hard, dude, though, when you got 10 dudes shooting.
Right.
Right.
And, like, how many times do you pull up?
Everybody is shooting at least, I don't know, a third of the group is shooting at the same bird.
Yeah, at least if you split it in two, everybody's aiming at two different birds. You know, sometimes.
So your second shot and third shot are what comes into play.
Yep. But still, even on my second shot, I just, like, if I pull up, a lot of times I pull up and it's like, that one's ragged. Oh, shit. That one's ragged. Oh, shoot. Then I haven't even shot a shell and I've seen two geese fall. And so then I just, which was fine. We were on that 250 day.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
And I did that a lot in late season where I just hung back and I just picked, you know.
I let the whole volley go up.
Yeah, wait for the whole volley to go up and I'll just pick. Whoop. Whoop.
After everybody's done fucking prematurely and ejaculating, I'm sitting there going,
what I do?
And if I shoot one, I'm happy. Yeah. That's okay.
What I have learned, though, is if you shoot behind Cody North, and I learned this from Danny, he fucking slows geese down for you. Because he is terrible at fucking killing geese, but he is really good at fucking slowing them down. Like, he'll fucking shoot one, and I was noticing, I even have it on a video. And he'll shoot one, and you'll see feathers, but it won't fall, and he'll move to the next one. And it's crazy.
Oh, Cody.
So, and that's kind of like where my dad, too, because he's so slow getting up that he has a problem finding a bird. Because usually when he picks one out, it's already fucking done.
Yeah, I feel bad because, there's a lot of times where if they aren't perfectly in front of us and, you know, feet down, back flapping, or, you know, darn close, you know, he's gonna have a he's just, you know, he's having a little bit of a hard, he's behind the eight ball,
right?
You know, and
yeah,
you know, by the time we're done unloading our guns, he's like, man, I didn't even fire a shot.
Yeah.
You know, I feel bad a little bit on that. So
I think
a lot of those
his
shots
twisting
that I'm not calling or you're not calling,
his twisting and turning
for that, you know.
You know what, but I mean, Todd gets it.
No, he does, and that's why sometimes,
you know,
we call the shot and sometimes we don't. You know,
I mean, that's just the way it is, the
exactly.
way it goes.
Exactly. And like on days where it's like we're getting consistent flocks, I'll let, or, you know, I appreciate Cody doing the same thing where we'll let some circle in and out, and sometimes we'll get them to come in a lot closer, and sometimes we won't, and it is what it is. On days where we're struggling, That, like you that's take not that case. We're gonna do what we got
to
do.
Yeah, you take that fucking shot. That's like
we're taking shit to Hammertown.
Right. I mean, we're gonna.
And it is what it is, and Todd gets it. But at the same time, it's like, man, let's. You know, I'm okay if you know. Yeah, there's geese that I you know he like on. I think it was the last day or second to last day. He's like, oh, you should shoot those. You should shoot those. And it's like, yeah, I could get a goose out of this, but eh, fuck, dude. Shot so many geese this year. It's like, I'm cool. Like,
fuck it. Let's all shoot at one and drag one down or something like that. But, I mean, that's what we try not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of brings up Sunday, not to, like, go forward a little bit, but well, even, like, when Austin brought...
you just want to get to your mandate?
No. When Austin brought out his...
legit. It's in...
my God.
What did they say? What's an asterisk?
It's got an asterisk. Yeah,
he's got an asterisk band.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
You're branded.
I know what I did, so you guys off.
You commandeered it.
Seven guys that shot at that same goose definitely did not hit that goose.
Fine. All of us were men of honor, dignity, value. Uh-huh. You, on the other hand, were not.
Yeah.
That's why you don't like golf.
It's probably why I don't like golf. Anyway, where I was getting on Sunday is like when Austin brought his bow out again in the morning, and it's like, it's probably not going to happen today, bud. You're just going to have to fucking take what you can get because Sunday morning was pretty slow. Sunday afternoon was fucking fire, but Sunday morning was like,
yeah,
that bow's probably not going to help you out a lot today.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, but going back to Saturday. So Saturday we went out in the afternoon or in the morning.
Hammered.
Phenomenal. Just great time, good people. Getting together, having Big Josh out there was great.
It was a fun day.
Dude, super fun day. Yeah.
You want it stronger, Josh.
Yeah. Stronger, Josh, and stronger, Josh. And it was just a hands down, it was a day that was good for the soul. Yeah. You know? And then we hunted until about 10, went back and fired up the tailgate Traeger and cooked a crap load of food.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I liked most, my happiest thing of late season, was when I suggested breasting out one of the specks that we had shot and throwing it on the Traeger right then and there.
Oh, that shit was amazing.
Field to fork immediately. And that was amazing. I think he did two geese actually.
It was good.
So two geese, breasted them out, threw them on there with seasoning, no marinade, and it was damn good.
That shit was
damn good. It was like,
yeah.
Hats off to Cody North for just whipping it out. Like, dude, like some great, great food.
Well, not only that, but thanks to Justin for cooking almost every day.
Yeah, for buying the Traeger.
Just huge, huge shout out, huge difference, and kept us fed.
That's legit. If you're a goose hunter and you don't have a fucking tailgate Traeger, you are fucking up, bud.
Yeah. Yep. Ran it off of a
3,500 watt generator and fucking good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 2,000, but...
2,000, whatever.
Keeps it clean, though.
Yeah, keeps it clean.
I mean, it's clean as fuck.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
You can run it off your truck. You just got to keep the truck on.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But the F-150 guys. I don't know about the Dodge guys.
Nah, should explode that shit.
It'd probably explode.
I mean, probably throw a code, but...
a different one that's already on?
Yeah. I mean, it'd Christmas light that dash for
that
sure.
That fucking dash has already Christmas got a light on. It's fucking fine. Dude, you just ignore that bitch.
It'd be super cool. You take a step back to Christmas.
It's fucking fine.
He just keeps
fine.
Electrical tape in his truck and just puts it over every single light that comes on.
I like
on.
That. Yeah. I like that. That's why he bought black.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Nah, it was good. We barbecued up a bunch of meat and, you know, chilled out and relaxed and, hung out, man, and then went back in the afternoon, and it wasn't a crazy good afternoon because, again, Saturday, all day Saturday, even in the morning and in the afternoon, there was absolutely zero wind. So there was no consistency to where the geese wanted to come in from.
They came in from the left. They came in from the right. Yep. They came in straight. They came in behind us. It was fucking stupid.
And we tried to orient the spread to allow them to do that. And then we also tried to you know, manipulate the situation a little bit to, you know, straighten them out. But honestly, it didn't really make a damn bit of difference. We made a little bit of adjustment in the afternoon, but the coolest thing in the afternoon that day was those Rossies or whatever. I think they were Rossies, right? That there was a group of what, like 40 or 50 or something like that.
Yeah.
On the horizon.
And they came in fucking smoking.
Like, oh, look at these. You know,
there's only four.
No, you didn't come. You weren't out there.
Oh, you weren't out there.
You weren't talking about the banded ones?
No.
It was that group. So we had like 40 or 50.
I don't know how many. But they came in and you could see them probably about 150 yards out. And they just fucking dropped to the deck. And they were like,
Danny and I just let out like two sounds of a snow call. Just both of us at the same time went.
And half of that whole front flock went upside down.
They literally looked like they dissolved in front of you.
Yeah.
It was Joe's first goose, like real goose hunt that he had been on. And I mean, these geese fucking liquefied in front of us. Looked like they were melting in front of us. And, you know, sometimes geese whiffle in, it's no big deal, whatever. Yeah. Geese were on like shit power. They were cocaine snows. Nothing like fucking cocaine Rossies. Cocaine Rossies came in and
they were flying so fast that they were, I don't know, 5 feet, 6 feet off the ground. And they were probably at 10 yards when we called the shot. And by the time everybody got up,
they were behind us. Way behind us. We fucked that up.
We
should have
called the shot like 30 yards out there. Absolutely. And they probably would have been right in our fucking face.
I shot one time because by the time the first shot, I fucking didn't even aim at anything. I just shot into the air behind me. I just went like behind me. I was like, oh, whatever. Dude, I just watched them go out. I was like, whatever. That was so badass to see.
And I got the best video of my face that I have ever seen in my entire life.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure there's no good video of your face.
No, it's a great video of my face. It was pretty fantastic because the whole time I'm like,
mouth open.
Imagine that with your mouth open.
Gaphole. Yeah.
Because what happened was I was recording and then all of a sudden they fucking melted and I was like, what the fuck? And I was watching the geese and not watching my phone and all of a sudden I looked down and it's just my whole face and my fucking phone because it was on reverse and I was like, oh, God damn it.
The best part about that is I look over and I didn't even say anything to Joe, but he's over there kind of middle to left side. And Joe's like, that's the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen. And I mean, that's what we're out there for, right? I mean,
yeah,
dude, straight up.
Yeah, that came out right after that. And I was like, all that shooting, you guys killed three?
Yeah.
Dude, it was like, everybody was like, what the hell just happened? We just got raped. Yeah. These geese came in and wiped their ass on our heads.
We only
shot three of them.
And we do a lot. I mean, we fucking goose hunt a shitload. And it's shit like that that you look at and you're like, man, that's, you still got a lot to learn, bud. Because we fucked that up.
Mm-hmm.
We should have had at least fucking 15 out of that fucking flock.
Those are like teal. You got Rossies coming in. They're teal.
Yeah.
Yeah. We definitely should have yelled. We should have yelled at them and scared them up when they were 25 yards out, like Cody had said.
Yeah. Because they were flying so fast.
They still would have made it another 10 yards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were going so fast that at 25, by the time you pulled up, they would have been at about 10.
That is so hard to fucking do.
Yeah.
You're in the moment and you're just in awe of these things. You know, just getting upside down and crazy, and it's just.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, sometimes you just become a bird watcher at a certain point.
Exactly, and you're a fan of it, too. You're just sitting there like, you know, and I think we spend so many days in the field and we're chasing all these geese, and at least for me, yes, I want to kill them, but also more than that, I think, is I just want to get them into what they did. I just want to get them in tight because that means that we won.
Mm-hmm.
We won. Yeah. Regardless if we kill them, we beat you. Like, we made you think that we were real geese and you wanted to land. Aha, bitch. You know, that's how I feel. And so when they did that, it was like, I want them to get in as close as they can so that I can win.
And then too close. It was like, wait, stop, go back.
Yeah, seriously.
Rewind. Oh, man. Let's try that again. Because I call, I don't know if I called it or you called it, but we one of us called it.
I think at some point they got so close, everybody was like, self-defense!
Because it was like 10 yards, and then when they fucking went up, it was like it was behind. It was fucking crazy. That shit was awesome. We've all seen fucking geese whiffle.
Oh, yeah.
But I have never seen geese whiffling doing 45, 50 miles a fucking hour. Yeah, like, that shit was nuts.
Well, yeah. The day we killed 100 and... Our second best day, they were doing that shit.
They were fucking smoking that day, too, pretty good.
Yeah.
But them fucking geese were hauling ass.
So fast. Like, I just hadn't seen that in a long time. And that's what I told Joe. I said, that's the best whiffling that we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, because as soon as you guys hit those calls, I shit you not, that whole front of that group fucking went upside
just like
down.
It was like the panty droppers. This is just like all just decided. It was like as soon as Danny and I hit that call, they just went, you know, just started whiffling down into us and hauling ass.
When they go inverted, shit is happening.
It was the whole, it was like from the bottom up, everything just started whiffling down into us. And it was, that was just, I mean, at that point, you're just sitting there watching the show. And that's all I go there for, you know, really, at the end of the day, enjoying the show. But yeah, so that was Saturday. I mean, I think we ended up Saturday with just over 100, something like that.
110 or something like that.
Yeah, 18 something.
Yeah, it was good, and we decided to sit the same spot in the morning of Sunday. So Sunday we had a couple new shooters out. And same thing, no wind, cold in the morning, frost in the morning, frosted decoys, white specks, and kind of lower expectations.
Yes, Sunday morning, I'm just going to say Sunday morning kind of sucked. Like, we were all expecting more than, I think by 10 o'clock when we picked up, we had only killed like 12 or 15. It was pretty bad.
Not a terrible day for a lot of us, and even us, you know, 15 geese is hard to complain about, but
yeah,
at the same time, we, you know, we're riding a pretty good wave there for a while.
We're fucking spoiling ourselves. We've been on this pretty high average here lately, so it was like we only shot 15. I think everybody was a little disappointed after the morning shoot.
It's hard not to put an expectation on a hunt, even though we always say no expectations.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
there's the expectation when you put the amount of work that we put out.
Yeah, I get it.
But Austin brought his daughter out, and you know,
that was cool.
We got to get her in the blind, and we did have a couple pretty good groups come in and got to shoot into them. And
I was super jealous of Nora.
She was comfy as
she
shit.
Looked so warm.
Yeah,
like I.
So he brought.
I wish I had the comfort Austin, that she had that day.
Austin, just shout out to him. Spot archery. He came out and hunted with us again, and he brought his daughter, and he brought her the giantest fucking sleeping bag, like I don't know, military grade fucking -60 degree sleeping bag to put her in, and she was so bundled up and cozy in that damn sleeping bag. I'm pretty sure everybody that morning was jealous. Because it was like 30 degrees that morning, too. It was cold as shit.
Yeah.
I mean, she was so comfy that we were shooting, and she was fucking passed the fuck out. She did not give two shits.
No. It was really cool to, again, you know, I get a lot of out, you know, bringing, whether they're a junior or they're, you know, older in age, you know, just anybody who's never really experienced that. I think I get a little bit more out of it when they're our age or even older and they haven't done it, because I think that they have a little bit more, you know, value out of it. But even juniors, you know, it's really cool to bring them out and have them just see all the decoys and all the birds flying around and all that kind of stuff. That's pretty cool. But
yeah,
it was cool to have her out there. And I saw Austin pull up the bow a couple times, but didn't let it rip.
I like kids because they don't have any high expectations.
Yeah.
Like, you get guys, like, not to say that I don't like bringing guys out our age, but you get a kid out there and we only shoot 10 or so, and they're fucking excited as shit.
Right.
you get somebody that's our age out there and they shoot 10 and they like have these high expectations, they get kind of let down.
True.
But
yeah. Yep. But
so we picked up Sunday afternoon. We went and we were like
afternoon. We picked up Sunday.
Well, midday. No,
midday.
Yeah, midday. When we were like, let's, you know, we had seen the snow showed back up Saturday in this in a adjacent field to us, and we were like, let's pick up Sunday midday. Let's move all the shit over there. It was probably what, quarter mile, away, and so we picked up all the shit. Basically, just threw it in the trailers, moved it over
200 dozen.
Yeah, and moved it over to that other field, set everything back out, and
full bodies.
Yeah,
yeah,
200 and that picked up, and 200 set back out
again,
and hunted.
And we did that. Which is amazing. We weren't running off any cocaine bear status, but I, you know, we did that in record time. I don't know how the hell we did it, but we did that, you know, break down and set back up in about 3 hours.
Yeah. It was pretty fucking quick.
Pretty crazy.
And then we hunted the afternoon.
Yeah. Then we hunted the afternoon.
And the afternoon.
With low expectations with and low sunburn faces. I had
very low expectations for the afternoon.
Sunburn faces.
Where I was almost not. We were talking about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking about just going back to the house.
Yeah. You know, after we're done setting up and just go back home.
And
we had it set up so damn fast that.
Like, fuck it.
Yeah. You know, you're fucking already out here. May as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I can sleep when I'm die.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank God we stayed because we hammered the fuck out of them Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, we did.
We shot.
And again, it was really the last 2 hours of shooting light.
Really? Yeah.
When you really boil it down, I think they started flying at about 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Is when the geese started, you know, legitimately trafficking over and pulling into the spread.
Yeah.
But.
And. That goes back to somebody that's never goose hunted before. I had two buddies out there, and Trevor's hunted with us before, but Dusty, my other buddy that has never hunted any kind of any kind of geese before, yeah, the old watering hole.
Oh, watering hole Dusty.
But he's never...
I never asked him about it.
I could see it in his eyes.
Yeah, it's probably a sore subject, huh?
No, he found it.
He found it again? He's got another one?
Yeah.
A new one? Fuck yeah.
Good for him.
He's pretty good at finding watering holes.
Good for Dusty.
Yeah.
Good for Dusty. It
must be that ginger thing. Mm. It's got to be something.
I don't know.
You notice how we both look at you.
Taylor found a permanent spring.
It's a fountain.
I've got a fountain.
A fountain.
Oh.
A beautiful fountain. Anyway. Jesus Christ. So, yeah, he never goose hunted anything like that. Like, that was all fucking new to him, and he had a fucking blast.
Dude.
Like, crazy. Fucking hooked now, so.
No, it's cool. I think, so Sunday, just to kind of put it in perspective again, shot 15 in the morning, you know, and it's tough. You know, you got, you know, all them damn decoys out, and it takes a really tough group to band together and make the call, we're going to pick up and we're going to move just a half a mile over, a quarter mile over, just to set them all out again. And now you got dudes with vertebrae on pressure enough to where if somebody pokes you in the wrong way, you're going to have a vertebrae shoot out 300 yards in the wrong direction and because your back's so tight. And you set it all back out, and then you say, oh, by the way, we're going to lay here in the decoys again for another couple hours and wait for geese to come while you get blasted in the face by you know, mega sun.
Umbrellas,
and,
homie.
Yeah. And, so we all just laid down, took naps, and waited for the show to begin. And luckily enough, it started. And it was one flock, and then it was another flock. And then after that, it was another flock, and a flock, and a flock. And pretty soon it was, holy crap, man, they're coming in. And, like I say, I think in 2 hours we shot another 80.
Yeah, probably more than that. We ended the day with like 116 or something like that.
I think it was
one oh six. It was like 116 the day before.
It was about 80 that came in, and there's a lot of, I can't remember, was it whites or darks?
Shot a shitload of darks. That was a fucking cackler day. Shout out to California for doing something right.
Yeah, No shit.
They actually let us shoot fucking Canadian geese on the first 2 days. So,
and shout out to those Alps Outdoor blinds too.
Seriously,
those are game changers.
They are. They're game changers for me, especially with all the problems that I have with my body that's deciding to give up on me. And yeah, dude, I mean,
they're zero gravity scope blinds. Things are just badass.
Game changer. Game changer, man. If you're hunting wedges, you know, even if you're hunting ghillie blankets or whatever, and you're hunting on the ground, go get yourself an Alps Outdoors blind. They're well worth the money.
Well worth it. I mean, they're only like $30 more than your normal one.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah, I think your fucking regular wedge, about $100. You can get those for about $130, $140. Yeah.
And you can adjust the height you just got to get yourself a little, you know,
strap. Fuck, you can do it with a fucking piece of like 550 cord or something like
exactly.
that.
It's easy peasy, but yeah, no, we had a great Sunday. I mean, again, where we're sitting there like, we cannot believe this is happening again. And, you know, just super lucky and blessed to have the places that we have to hunt and the access that we have, with the property owners that we have, that we know. And we become friends with, and it's been a damn good year, but it didn't stop there, you know. But Sunday was, I think, one of those days where when we had moved, at least for me, that was probably the last time we were going to move those decoys, just based on where the geese were going after we were shooting into them Sunday afternoon. They were going off of our property.
Yeah, you know? there had only been one more place where we could have moved.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was worth it to even do it. So
no. Yeah,
I didn't come out with it with any regrets. I just remember Saturday sitting there in the shade and Taylor up there sunbathing like a little lizard up on top of the levee.
Oh, yeah.
With a giant smile on his face. And it just made me happy.
Because of my hot dog burger that I had made?
Your hot dog burger, and you had a shitty grin on your face.
Dude.
The whole time we were down there.
Dude, I'm just
sitting there reflecting on the year and certain things I got going on in my life, you know, outside of hunting and, you know, inside of hunting and all that kind of stuff. I, you know, sitting up there looking at the barbecue going with the trailers in a circle and my buddies, you know, sitting down there enjoying a little bit of goose juice and some hamburgers and hot dogs and fresh specks on the grill. Just listening to the conversation bouncing around. I mean, it's hard not to sit there and smile and relish in the moment. And I, at least for me anymore, I tried to be present. A lot of people, you know, well, why don't you take more photos? That's what my wife says a lot. Like, why don't you take more photos or take pictures of this? And I don't give a fuck about any of that. Like, it's great to look back on it and I get it. And that's, you know, I should probably do that more, but I also really, really want to be present and look at that moment. And so that I can burn that into my memory and just relish it, because once you're out of that moment, you're never going to have it. Now we're talking about it. We're not in it anymore. And you, be there for that moment, be present and enjoy it. Cause once it's gone, it's gone. It's just a memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking up at you, smiling, having a great time, made me smile.
Yeah.
Have a good time. And you know, it's like one of those things where, you know, in golf, let's just say.
Yep.
You know, Tiger Woods, every time he tees off, there's 99% of the people with their phones out.
Yeah, dude.
And there's that one guy.
Just sitting
there. Or a couple guys without their phone out just watching.
Yeah, living in that moment, man. Yep. I mean, you're going to get it one time.
You're going to see that video, you know, over and over again. But why watch it through a screen when you can watch it in real life?
Exactly. Exactly. I don't want to be staring at a fucking phone.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be looking at it, and I want to be burning into my memory. And
since we're talking about videographers, though, if there's anybody out there that's like, you know, up and coming that wants to get some pretty badass fucking goose film for like 23-24 season, you know, just go ahead and hit me up and send me an email. And we'll even some pretty badass pigeon hunts coming up. I think you just need to send me an email and go ahead and we'll get in contact with each other.
But don't expect to get paid because we have
I didn't say it was not. I didn't say it was a paid position. I said up and coming.
Right. Like, as in you'll do it for free.
As in you can get invited.
May or may not barbecue for you. That's not a gift.
I'll give you.
Let's be real.
I'll give you a free goose juice and a hamburger.
It's not indentured slavitude.
Yeah.
What's that word?
No, absolutely not. They're doing this at their own will.
Yeah.
That's not slavery if you're doing it at your own will.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I'll write a contract if you need it.
I don't know. I'm staring at you because you're the one that's talking about it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not slavery. If you're doing it at your own will, I'm pretty sure that's not slavery. Like I said, I'll write a contract if you need
there
one.
There needs to be a contract.
Yeah, I'll write a contract.
Where there needs to be a safe word.
Or safe. And it can't be pineapple juice because that's everybody's safe word.
Yeah, pineapple juice is out.
Nobody knows if you're serious or not.
Yeah.
Some people just like to yell that when they get excited. I hear Cody yell it as a key to shoot birds sometimes.
Yeah.
Pineapple juice! Pineapple juice!
And kennel.
Kennel.
Is not a good one either.
The kennel is not the greatest. When the whole process.
Have you told that story?
No, I haven't.
You should tell that story.
All right. We got how much? All right. We got enough time. So where were we hunting? We were hunting out.
No matter where we're hunting.
We're just laying in a goose spread.
So we were in a goose spread last year, and these fucking geese are flying in, and we were close enough to the blinds that I could get Maggie to kennel and like get her in her kennel,
which is a challenge.
Which is his dog.
Oh my god!
By the way,
which is not a challenge.
It is a challenge.
So anyway, we were close enough to the blinds to where I could get her in her blind, and there's geese flying over, and I'm kind of out in the spread, and I'm yelling at Maggie. I'm like, Maggie kennel, Maggie kennel, and I don't know what happened between.
What you did is you yelled it extremely loud, extremely fast.
Well, she fucking left the blind, and you're like, Maggie.
To my point earlier.
Kittle!
Oh, and that's, so they were about 80 yards at that point when I yelled out kennel.
Yeah.
And kennel! Somehow, kennel and kill 'em got mixed up, and everybody was like, okay.
Everybody half-heartedly pulled up and yeah. were like,
I don't know, man. Those are pretty far, dude. And then after everybody blasted into these geese at like 80 yards, they all looked at me and like, what the fuck was that call? And I was like, what the fuck are you guys shooting at? And they were like, you said kill them. And I said, no, I said kennel. And that's how the whole kennel thing started.
I thought you said go, Bo, go.
Go, Bo.
Not no, Bo, no.
Yeah. So I
another
got.
Another fun one of this year was the kill him? It's like, is there a question mark on the end of that? Or are you what's going on here?
Well, there
somebody
was
typed a question mark in a teleprompter. We knew Cody would read it.
Kill him?
Kill him?
What happened was I was discussing with Danny about whether we should kill him or not because they were right on the edge and I didn't think they were going to spin again. And I was like, do you think we should kill him? And then I guess the left side only heard kill him. And so that's how that got fucked up because we wound up shooting into him, pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, sometimes
you're not very quiet.
No, I think I'm being a lot quieter than I actually am most of the time, probably. My wife tells me that a lot also. She's like, you're being really loud. And I'm like,
true story.
Don't feel like I'm being that loud, but maybe I'm just a loud person.
You need some inside voices.
Yeah.
True story.
Yeah. It's probably because I'm deaf.
Huh?
Probably doesn't help. Me being deaf, it probably does not help a whole lot.
No.
Well, you need to learn sign language.
No, we don't. No, we don't. I don't need this motherfucker down there doing sign language. No, saying,
I know what exactly what you just said right now.
I told
he
him.
Said, fuck you, Ricky. Did you see that? That's exactly what he said.
It's just like this.
Yeah, down there holding his hands up in the air. Fuck, and shit.
When you see spirit fingers, shoot. That's a thing. It's going to happen next year.
I'm not even going to say kill him.
I'm just going to do this. Spirit fingers. And hopefully you guys are paying attention.
Yeah, so I think we'll wrap it up there, but come back for the next one. We'll break down Monday and Tuesday and some other, you know, things that came out of late season as well. And Cody, you want to hit them with a little bit of Spot Archery stuff?
Yeah, if you want to go check out Spot Archery, they are right there off of, well, basically Herndon.
They are not off of Herndon.
Shaw. Sorry.
All right. You know what?
They're off of Herndon?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. We fucked up.
Yeah, they're off of Alluvial and Champlain. All right.
Hold on, everybody. God damn it. See, here's the problem. Is you give Cody a little bit of responsibility, and he is fucking destroyed. Yeah.
Champlain and Perrin.
Yeah. They're out there in
Clovis and Towers
99. Champlain and Perrin.
They're out there in goddamn Tipton. All right, the fuck?
Let's retry that again.
Yeah, no, they're, yeah, you just got to drive up to Klamath Falls and hook a right and then come back south to Fresno.
And catch a ferry.
What the fuck? No.
If you hit Oregon, you've gone way too far.
Yeah.
I know that for sure. Hold on here.
Jesus Christ. While he's pulling that up, if you guys, you know, waterfowl season's exiting, you got turkey season coming up, and then, you know, there's a lot of other things too. They've got a lot of outdoor shoots coming up. They do indoor shoots if you're a, you know, longbow, traditional bow guy. Their 3D archery range is going to be opening up probably close to May or April time.
I'll get back to that.
Okay.
I'm looking that up right now.
And then, but I guess what I would say, and I can't say this enough, is go in now and, you know, go in and talk to those guys. They're super, super approachable. They can, if you have your own stuff that you just want to get tuned up, or you got questions on your form or whatever, new arrows, you know, you want to, you know, work on, you know, whatever it is, they can help you out with it. I know that they've helped me out a lot. I'm not God's gift to archery, but I'm certainly shooting a hell of a lot better since going in there and talking with those guys. But I can't say enough good stuff about the Spot Archery. And like I said, now's the time, and it's really an all around the year, hobby that you can do with yourself. If you've got a family, if you've got young ones, they can get into it too. They even got the little ping pong shoots indoors that you guys can get into that. I want to go and do that, you know, next couple weeks now that waterfowl season's done.
Yeah.
But
so the 3D range, it doesn't give an exact time, but it's either going to be towards the end of April, beginning of May, yeah. Depending on the weather. And that's going to go all the way through till the weekend before archery season for California. Yep. So yep. August, whatever date that is in August.
Yeah, probably the second week of August.
Second weekend, yeah. And then, well, Thursday. It's always on Thursdays. It's right off of Old Millerton Road. You can't miss it. They got a bunch of signs.
What is it, $5?
It's $15.
$15.
Okay. Yeah, $15, 20. 27 targets, all 3D, all different ranges. I think last year their farthest one was like 87 yards. So they got everything from a fish that's at like 5 yards to an elk that's laying down at like 87. But they move it every year. So, you know, the ranges kind of depend on the year or whatever. But yeah, it's an awesome shoot. You get
super fun.
Go out there on Thursday. It's honestly the best live action, like real shooting that you're going to get here in the Central Valley. It's the closest thing you're going to get to actually shooting at something here in the Central Valley.
And wear appropriate attire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hiking boots.
This is not a flat ground shoot.
No.
It's physical. It's physical. It's cool.
You're hiking up mountains. So wear boots, preferably pants. I know it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I usually take a backpack, throw a couple waters in it. Some guys got the Camelbacks. That's cool.
They do have ice chests out there with water in it.
Yeah, they usually have ice chests with water.
You know, you should probably bring your own.
Yep. Yeah. And get a group of guys. It's super fun. You know, get three, four guys and or more and go out there And it is so fun, and it is super, super helpful, yeah. You know.
And like I said, it's either the end of April, beginning of May. It's from 4 o'clock until 4 o'clock sunset. In the afternoon until sundown. Yep. So whatever, you know, that's going to change, too, depending on what time of year you go. But, but yeah, all the way till the first week of archery season.
Yep, they got the BTB coming up. Yeah. And a couple others. I'm drawing a blank on the other ones, but yeah, just go in, check them out. If you haven't done already, like I said, great people. We're going to have them on the podcast here shortly as we transition out of waterfowl and into spring turkey and just preparing for everything else, you know.
Man, so. I'm really trying to get Austin in on that fucking pigeon hunting with his bow. That would be pretty legit.
That'd be incredibly hard.
He's going to have to change some arrows for sure.
Mm-hmm. Broadheads at a dairy, probably
no.
A little sporty.
Yeah, we're going to have to change some shit out a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah, tune in, catch us on the next one. We'll break down the last two hunts that we had of the year.
Yeah, if you want to... follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Tri Valley Outdoors Hunting and Shit Podcast. And then if you want to email us, it's huntingandshitpodcast@yahoo.com or it's trivalleyoutdoors21@gmail.com. So you can send us some emails there. And if you're a videographer and want to do some free stuff, come hit me up.
All right. See you guys. Peace.